mind, all my flesh, and be you speaking to the church. With a humble heart, we ask you this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So as you guys know, we're talking about leading like Jesus. That's the title of the series, and we are continuing talking about that. We opened the whole series talking about servant mentality, serving with conviction, dying to serve, dying ourselves to serve. A slave of God, we learned that one last week. Thank you for all the people and support that we received in the outdoor community event that we have. It was a blast. It was a blessing. It was good food, good environment, like always good weather. The past 2-3 years, it was always cold and rainy, but this past weekend, it was amazing. So praise God to that. But today, we're going to continue talking about this topic, and I hope and I look that it's going to be a great blessing, like it was for me also, and continue learning and growing with this Christianity, which is a blessing. Open the whole service or the title of this sermon, I like to always use the same scripture and go from there, and using that one as a reference, which is Psalm 119, 176. And it says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. And Isaiah 53:6, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. That's what the scripture says. And it's kind of maybe a little bit in reference of what's going on sometimes in our life. We start going in our own ways, and we are getting out of the flock, out of the place that God is telling us to be. But the psalm, it says, seek your servant. Having that heart of a servant is helping us to learn and understand how to lead like Jesus. Because why? For I have not forgotten your commands. And we're going to continue talking about pretty much the same thing. It's just different scriptures and different reference. Because today, I want to go to 1 John and from there start learning more about why these disciples and apostles, they share with us, as of today, that we are need to continue leading like Jesus, learning more from him and living our life like him. Remember, this man, 2,000 ago, he walked on this earth, did miracles, he performed things in the life. He was crucified, he resurrected, and there was a lot of witnesses, people that noticed that and write these, and that's why you and me, as of today, we believe in that. And these men, beside other men in the world that did something like prophesies or anything else, you don't see like they have an after and before. They didn't mark that type of history in the life of the world. And Jesus Christ did that. So that's one of the thousands reasons why you and me believe in Jesus Christ and everything that he's doing in our life. Because we truly believe that everything that he did and also that is written in the scripture, we have people that eyewitnessed these things and we trust that those many people that wrote those things is true, is reliable. It's like any other thing that you are reading right now of today from other people that you believe, you say, but how I can know that's true? I don't know. My eyes were not there. I didn't leave that time. You were believing in the eyewitnesses. You're believing in what is written and say, but it was really true? Yes. Why? Because so many people, different time, different ages, is talking the same thing. And that's bringing all the reliability of believing in Jesus Christ. And that's why 1 John is one of them. Like last week, we talked about 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter was an apostle. He was eyewitnessing Jesus Christ. And John is the same situation. John, he eyewitnessed Jesus Christ in his life. And his written right now in this letter is based on the knowledge and experiences that he witnessed with Jesus Christ. Now, when he wrote this letter, we're talking about 85 to 90 years after Jesus Christ. And now he wrote this letter to the Gentiles and the church around the world. And you and I, today, 2025, we're still reading this and believing in this, trusting in this. Hallelujah. So I would like to go and start going through 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. To open this. Remember, John is the same one, the apostle that some people know him as the apostle of love, because his writings are based more in love. Also, John is the same one that, from the Gospel of John, the same one that 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of John, and the same one that wrote Revelations. But before he was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote the letter or the book of Revelation, he wrote this one, 1 John, chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you. Sorry, you know what? The version that I have over here is ESV. So let's go by the ESV. My little children, right? Good. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, everyone. And by these we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Going again to the same route. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. It's nice and easy saying that by your mouth. I know Jesus Christ, but are you really keeping his commandments? Because according to the scripture, it says that if you say that or doing that, then you're a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And today I just want to talk about that topic. Walk as he walked. Because that will teach us leading like Jesus. The way that he lead everything that he performed on the earth when he was over here. Helping us to be more like him. Helping us to be more Christian. Helping us to be more what the Father God wants us to be. So in learning this, we need to understand more about what is the definition of the word walk. And it's really interesting the way, I'm going to share with you guys two things, because as you know, I'm going to the Bible to share with you guys some stories, and I want to share two definitions in Hebrew, because we know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek. So the word in Greek, it means walking or moving on foot with a constant rhythm and a connotation of living or existing. The thing that get my attention out of all this definition, it is constant, consistent. You and I, we know that every single day that we have in our life, things happen that maybe make us to stop and not being consistent or constant keeping his words. And that's the first point that I want to share with you guys today. How we can walk as he walked, Jesus Christ, keeping his word. The word that he shared with us, the word that we are reading right now, that we have here on our hands, the word that it says what he did and what we're supposed to believe and what we're supposed to be walking also. If we do that, we will be walking like him and we will be leading like Jesus in our life. But it has to be in a constant rhythm. Otherwise, we will be getting out of our own ways, like we were sharing in Isaiah. We need to continue walking, keeping His word in our life, not deviating to any other direction. And that will help us to lead like Him. What Jesus did when He was over here on the earth, He was in constant believing on that word, doing the will of His Father, the word of His Father. And that's why He was in compliance with the prophecy of what was is written in the scripture. How we can continue keeping His word. How we can believe and continue trusting that everything that we are doing is aligned with Him. I want to share with you guys some stories. Like, for example, when we go to Genesis, you guys remember this? Genesis 21, 14. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy, Ishmael. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Now, when we go five chapters before that in the history, Genesis 16:7, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord found her, we're talking about the same person, Hagar, by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur, that's a desert. And he say, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She say, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord say to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. Ouch. You're receiving a rejection right now. And that's why you flee out of that. But the angel of the Lord was telling her, that's not your path. That's not the way that you're supposed to walk. You're supposed to stay with your mistress. No, but she, you're supposed to stay there. We talked about this last weekend. Being God's slave, according to 1 Peter 2, not me. Because you're not doing what you want. You're doing what He wants. I don't know. We just need to do His will. The angel of the Lord say that to her. And then the angel of the Lord say to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. Okay, chapter 16, 5 before, historically in time, it was before that moment that happened in 21. And now God did talk to her, she returned, and now she get out of the wilderness again, and now she just wandered. But wait a second, God already talked to you. God told you what you need to supposed to do. God already told you where you need to walk on. And now you're wandering in the desert, and you're leaving the boy just throwing away over there to die? That's what the scripture says. What are you doing? You're supposed to walk the way that He wants you to walk. Not the way that you want. We already talked about this, Hagar. Don't do that. Don't do your own will. Do His will. Anyway, whatever is going on in front of you is maybe not comfortable. It may be not what you want in your flesh, but in the spirit is what He wants. So take it easy. Just calm down. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. But just stay over there, constant, believing, keeping His word. He already gave you that word. Don't move. Constant. And that's the definition of that word. So when we continue learning and believing and trusting in those things and correlating in our life what's happening over here, we will see the bless of the Lord in our life. Another story that I want to share with you guys is 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6. And Solomon say, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father. Solomon talking to God, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. Wait a second. You guys know what happened, right? What David did. Different sins, different decisions that he made on his own to supply his own desires. Correct? Why Solomon is saying this here? Now, the detail over here in this scripture, which is in number 6 over there, when it says, walk before you in faithfulness, righteousness, uprightness of. Maybe externally he did something wrong, and you know the story. He get the consequences of that. But then he went right away in repentance. He have a heart, according to the scripture, that it was like God's heart. According to the scripture, not me. I know it's difficult to process because our mentality over here on the earth, it is, man, if you do something wrong, you, yeah, I know. And that's another topic that we can talk later. But we are here. We know how he's following Jesus Christ. We know how he's being a Christian. Do we fall sometimes? Come on, let's be honest. I'm too. I'm a human being like you. And the important thing is, it is having that heart of God to come back to his presence and say, sorry, I messed it up. Forgive me. In repentance. Help me and transform me. Now, I'm not going back to the same. I'm not supposed to do that. Because then it becomes like those in the scripture in the New Testament where Paul was reading the letter and says, those people that continue persisting in keeping sinning, that's a different story. But if you sin and you come back in repentance and say, sorry, God will change your heart and continue helping you to walk like he wants you to walk. That's what he wants. He wants you to walk from your heart like he wants you to walk, keeping his word. Now in verse 14, on the same chapter 3 of 1 Kings, this is God talking. Now it's not Solomon anymore. This is God. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And that's a challenging for you and for me, because the way that you and I grew here on the earth, and the culture and learning and teaching and family, name it, different things happening in our life, and we have those paradigms in our hearts, that is telling us, but no, it's not supposed to work like that. He did this, and that. Yeah, it's true. And he received the consequences of those. We can go through the Bible and talking about that. However, he had the heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to share with you guys Psalm 1. The majority of the psalm was written by David. Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And this is the part that we need to be careful of what we are listening. What is the counsel that you are receiving? From where you are receiving it? Who is providing you that counsel? Even me, go to your house and study the Bible. Don't believe everything that I'm saying here. I'm another human being like you guys. So go to your house and study the Bible and have that experience. And with that experience, God will reveal to you the truth, and God will reveal to you what is his word, the word that you're supposed to keep and I'm supposed to keep and continue moving forward in that word, which is the commandments that he already left for us. Another one that I didn't include over here, so go to the Bible. It's just Genesis 5. You know this story. Enoch. You guys remember Enoch? Genesis 5, 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was not more, because God took him away. Pay attention. It's not that God is walking with you. It is that you are walking with him. It's a different story, different terminology. Because when you are walking with him, with what he wants you to walk with, it's a different story. Now you're walking based on his commandments, based on his statutes, in his word, not yours. Not your precepts or anything like that. It's by what he wants, and he say. So Enoch did that. And even according to scripture, he did that God just took him. I said, man, this guy is amazing. He's walking with me. This guy is just doing my will. This guy is just doing everything according for everything that I already put over there. Amazing. And I believe that's what God wants us from our hearts. That we are walking based on that, based on what he really wants. And moving on to the second point that I want to share with you guys today. It is a spiritual walking. Because we have this flesh. And David did that. You can see the difference. David was, and sometimes he walked by his flesh. And he did those sins that he performed because he wants that desires that he have of pride or other desires that he have. But then we also have the spiritual walking, which is the heart, the one that God is talking to Solomon and say, this is the way that I want you guys to walk. Galatians 5:16, the scripture says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What else I can say about that? Everything is written over there. It's beautiful. And we continue learning that specific word of walking by the Spirit. And you learn that Jesus Christ, he walked by the Spirit. When he was baptized, according to Scripture, the heaven was open and the Holy Spirit fulfilled him and helped him to continue doing his ministry. After that, right away, he went into temptation with the devil. And what happened? He defeated the enemy just not supplying the desires of his flesh. The same thing is that what you and I are facing every day. We are facing those things, but if we are keeping walking by our flesh, I don't know. The outcome, I don't know what's going to be, but it's not going to be maybe the plans from God to your life. It might be going to be a different plans. Then maybe for us, it seems like it's going to be good, but not necessarily. You will see that God's plan, it will be the best ones. It's going to be the best option that we will have in our life to continue living on the earth in compliance with what he wants us to do. Another point that I want to share, it is that note that walking expresses the faith of Israel in that moment. When Paul was written to the Galatians, he was saying kind of this type of comment. Not that it's written in the scripture, but kind of this. See how I walk, and you will know what I believe. Although people will say maybe the path is made by my walk. you guys know in the other times, right now we can see roads and everything is over there, but when it was just how I can say it, I don't know, you know, that we don't have any path, we don't have any ways, we don't have anything to walk, and the only way that you can create a path is walking. Otherwise you cannot have a path. And I mean, like, when you are, for example, in the farm and you have all those trees and all the weeds and everything is over there all high and everything is like that, and you say, like, there's no path to walk. Well, let's just start from here. But then you start mashing or pressing those weeds and everything. Now you are creating a path. Are you walking based on your desires or what you think is correct or what he really wants you to walk? This reminds me of Exodus 14. And in Exodus 14, I want to share. Let's go over there. Exodus 14. Do you remember the story? Israel, he was slaves of Egypt. And then now, after the 10 plagues, now they got released. Moses is with them. We're going. God is with us. We have the column of fire during night. We have the column during day to protect us, to guide us. We have all those things, blessings. Oh, great. God is with us. And now they get to Exodus 14. Then the Lord says to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near, this is tough, help me, Pi-hahiroth, between, yeah, I'm sorry, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Wow. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Pay attention. Starting the first thing, it is, then the Lord says to Moses. So God is talking. And he's saying, they are to encamp by the sea. So you're walking, getting out of this slave environment, and now you are in front of the sea. You don't have way to walk. Well, normally, right? Maybe with Jesus Christ and Peter, we can walk over the water, but not in that moment, according to Scripture. So you are in front of the sea. You cannot walk. There's just sea around, and I don't have anything else to walk. And he said, just stop over there. And in front over there, you're going to camp. So you're not looking what is coming behind you. Don't worry about that. I will worry about that. And what he say about that? I will harden the heart of the Pharaoh. God says that. He will do that, not anyone else. Keep that in mind. Which I know sometimes is kind of difficult because you say, well, God is, according to Scripture, he did, and he was doing it based for his glorification. Who we are to say anything against God? Simple man, according to Scripture. Now, we are in front of the sea. We don't have a path to walk. And then God talked to Moses and said, let's go with it. Let's go to number 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and say, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. Now, going to 13, let's jump to 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." Now the people are complaining. "You take me out of the slavery, and now I'm here. Why you guys are doing that to me?" "Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Just believe." And sometimes we are thinking two things. I'm going to share two things. Number one, when we are praying patiently and not moving versus praying and moving. Depending on the situation, because we can read about this in the Bible in different contexts, we can pray and move, but there's sometimes that you just need to pray and just be still. Because He will do what He needs to do. And I mean God. But sometimes you pray and you need to move. Consistently believing in His word and keeping His word in your life. Now, in 15, what it says? Then the Lord says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" I don't know how that sounds to you, but for me it's like, don't do that. I already talked to you. You know what to do. So, let's go. Tell the Israelites to move on. Again, sometimes we pray and we just like stand still. That's Moses talking to the Israelites. But now God is saying, why are you crying to me? You already know what to do. Move. What do you want me to do? See, I have a sea in front of me. I cannot walk. I give you the rod. I give you what you need. And I told you that everything is going to be blessed by that. So just do it. There you go. Now you can walk. It's beautiful and nice knowing that now you're walking because God opened you the path of where you need to walk. And now you're walking miraculously with these two walls of water, and you were walking on dry on the sea by a miracle by God. And that's nice and easy. I will say it that way because it's 100% sure. Wow, that's you. That's amazing. I have my path. Now, what happened? Let's go to 29. Not 29. Let me go to 29. Yeah, let me go to 29. 14:29. "But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptian laying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant." What happened? They passed the sea. God did that miracle. He opened that path for you, and now you're walking on that. What happened after that? According to the scripture, the water go back. Now the Egyptians are not there anymore. What do you have in front of you now? A desert. Where are you going? Now you have options because you can walk. It's not a sea. Oh, let me go this pathway. No, I can go this one. I can go anywhere now. But are you keeping the word of God to just continue walking in His pathway anyway you have options now? Before it was easy because He opened it for you. And there's no way. It's a great miracle. And the only thing and only one that can do that, it was God, and He did it. And then now, okay, this is the only one. I don't have any option. Thank you. Wow, that's just amazing. But then now I'm in front of this desert. where I'm going. Are we keeping His word? Are we really walking spiritually walking with Him? Or are we just going based on what we think is correct? I'm not sure if I put it over there because I don't have it here, but I think it's Isaiah 43, Jeanette. Did I have it there? Isaiah. I remember that Isaiah prophesied something the same of this. Come on. Isaiah. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Isaiah 43, 16, 21. Beautiful. Praise God. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Nice and easy. There's no issues with that one. Who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a weak. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He will do it or not? He will do it. The only thing, just wait for Him. Keep His words. He will do it anyway. He will give you the path that you need to walk. At least for me, I learned this week, and we will continue learning because we are facing this every day. Are we really walking His way, or we are just walking our own way? I want to close with the last one, the third and last point that I want to share with you guys. It is Matthew 11, 29. Matthew 11, 29, Jesus Christ is saying by His own words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Teach from me. I'm teaching you. Please, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ says this, letting you know how to walk how as He walked when He was over here. And we're still learning from this. We just need to understand, because sometimes we're walking, looking for His approval, looking for gaining something out of Him, looking for His miraculous thing or His blessing. He already did that. So maybe let's change our mindset and say, let me start walking based on what He already did, instead of walking in something that I'm looking and pursuing from Him. He already died for you. He already resurrected. He already gave you salvation and life. Just walk by that. Don't walk looking for that. He already did it. And that's the only thing that we need to change our mind a little bit, to understand that we need to walk based on what He already did. I'm not looking more love from Him. He already loved me. I'm not doing things just to find more love from Him. He already did that. And there's now more or less love than that. That whatever He did for me, I'm not looking to be loved or restored or transformed. He already did it. So I'm walking based on that. And because I'm walking based on that, I'm not looking for those things, then the enemy or my flesh, it doesn't have any part on me. Because I already have my heart and my soul and my mind solidified, believing that He already did those things for me. Finishing. 1 John chapter 2, 7. Beloved, I am writing you no commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's already there. I'm not looking for that light. It's already there. I'm just walking on that light. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The other day I was in the garage and I have a sensor that turned on automatically a LED light. So I was too long time in a corner. Guess what happened? Poof, pitch black. A table that Jeanette left over there. Oh my goodness. So the same thing. If we are blind because it's dark, we cannot see it and we're going to hit everything in the room. The same concept. But the light is already here. The light already passed. We just need to walk on that, and the light will be always lighting you the path. It will give you the way that you need to walk on. Keeping his word, believing that it's not just you walking by your flesh, walking by the Spirit, not supplying the desire of the flesh, and then be gentle and lowly in heart as he was, so we can lead like Jesus. Father God, thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for the blessings and everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for the teaching. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the growth that you are giving to us. Thank you for the blessings, and thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone here. We bless them. We bless all the things that you're doing in their life. We declare your glory and your presence over them. Father God, supply what they need, please. Continue bringing your word to our life. And we just don't want to be a listeners. We want to be a doers of the word. Because doing your word will show consistent and be constant on believing and walking with strong steps, believing in you and trusting in you. That will help us to walk like you want us to walk. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.